We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Good morning, everyone. Wrapping up the work week, you're tuned in to the RotoGrinders NBA Morning Grind. Manageable 8-game slate, but a lot of moving parts. The Chief and I are here to break it down for Friday night. Will Priester, it's going to be a fun Friday night slate.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's going to be very fun, so I'm excited. We get to break this thing down, a couple good games, and let's see if we can help people ride it to the money.
Yeah, last night's 4-game slate was really, really, really messy. Time to turn the page and talk about an 8-gamer. A lot of moving parts, so let's just get right into it. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get to it. Boston and Denver tipping off at 7 Eastern. And you know what? Denver is not playing great defense. They're actually playing at a decent little pace. So I think you can have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in your player pool, no problem. Jokic all the way up at 11-7. That price starts to get a little bit tricky. Jamal Murray in that game, 6,400 on DK, finally playing around 30 minutes, getting around 6x value. Good to see him doing this in the last couple of games. This isn't a game I generally would like to target, generally speaking. What are your thoughts, Mitch?
Yeah, I'm actually in on Jamal Murray right now. This is kind of what we've been waiting for him to hit the minutes mark. But he's also been shooting a lot better, you know, overall, just in general. So I like what I'm seeing here the last few games with the shooting. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about Jamal Murray against the Boston Celtics on the road a little bit here. He's absolutely my favorite Nugget player. I don't feel bad fading Jokic. Like, his upside hasn't been what it was in recent years, and it shouldn't be, quite honest with you, right? Like, with Jamal Murray back, playing more minutes, taking a few shots away, taking a few of those other stats away, probably taking a little bit of the usage away. Like, we shouldn't expect Jokic to have 70 points every game. Like, they needed him to do that last year with no Murray. But now that it's the Murray and Jokic show, I don't think he's going to be needed to do that. So I'm pretty excited to not have to play Jokic every slate and see what happens.
Jason Tatum, I like him on pretty much every slate because he seems to always be an afterthought. And he has really taken a leap over the last, like, 8 months of basketball. We saw him in the second half of last season in the playoffs, cold-blooded. And now the thing is with Jason Tatum, he's averaging, let's see, 49, pushing 50 DraftKings points per 36 minutes this season. He's played more than 36 minutes in 8 out of 11 games this season. So if this game is competitive, which I think it should be, Jason Tatum is one of the best pure tournament plays on this slate, I think. And the 10K sticker shock, I still feel like follows Tatum around because maybe people aren't willing to accept that Tatum has solidified himself as like a top 5 NBA player, maybe. Like, he's knocking on the door of top 5. If he's not, Chief, we can't go too far off a tangent. But I like Tatum a lot because I think it'll be competitive, and he could play 40 minutes in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. He absolutely could play 40 minutes. And Tatum has actually been, even outside of the DFS streets, he's been – I'm so sorry, folks. Excuse me. He's pretty much been a prop gold mine as well, Luch. Like, you know, most games this season, he's been scoring more than 26.5 points, 27.5, has been going over that PRA, points, rebounds, assists. Has been going over fantasy point totals. And so I think the sites are beginning to adjust up and adjust up and adjust up. But this is definitely a guy that if the game is tight, you know, we could see him go off for, you know, 50-plus fantasy points. The problem is he's consistently now, Luch, in the upper 40s to 50. And so that's why we're seeing this 10K price. He does have 60 point upside. I think if you're mass multi-airing, of course, you get a little piece of them. But if you fade them, I wouldn't say, oh, you're making a mistake. Because the price tag is there.
Yeah, I agree. And Denver quietly is playing at a top 10 pace and a bottom third of the league defensive efficiency. So there is some fantasy production to be found in the Denver Nuggets game so far this season. Malcolm Brogdon is out. Other than that, not a lot of injury news in this one. Anything else you want to mention, or should we move on?
No, I am good.
Well, there's a game with a lot more red on the screen here. Phoenix in Orlando, Chief. And Chris Paul is questionable. This is a 7 o'clock game. Thankfully, this thing's not out west, so we should have this news. Chris Paul's questionable. Cam Johnson is going to be out for a couple months. So Devin Booker's still sub 9,500. You know, Michael Bridges did his thing, played 43 minutes and went for almost 60 DraftKings points the other night, Chief. I know. You locked Devin Booker in the other night and you almost had the nuts, brother. But so where do you get to Phoenix again on Friday?
Well, I mean, they're playing the Orlando Magic, and I'm expecting something similar to happen here again if Chris Paul is out. Devin Booker's at 9,400. Don't care. I'll go right back to the well for a guy that's going to be doing it all. And I like what I saw in terms of the overall production. Luke's 32 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds. I'm not saying he's going to have 10 assists this game, but for that type of peripheral action to be, we know the scoring is there. The peripherals are the peripherals will get him over the hump. And so if we can see him be Devin Booker and a hybrid of Chris Paul, still put up 30, but still get close to double-digit assists and pick up a handful of rebounds and light turnovers, I mean, we could be looking at another 55 to 60-point performance yet again. Mikal Bridges is now 6,500. Put on a clinic the other night against Minnesota. 31 points, my gosh. But I'm not expecting that here. Against the Orlando Magic. I took the fade on Mikal the other night. It did not work. Probably going to take the fade again, hopefully. But, you know, I it's the Devin Booker show for me. I know campaign put up 40-plus. He's now 5,700. So, you know, it's the Devin Booker show mainly.
Yeah, I wonder what his assist prop's going to open up at. Is that you target that when Chris Paul's out, Devin Booker dimes?
Not exactly. But we'll have to see. My assumption is it comes out at 4.5, 5.5 because of the big game. If it's 4.5, I'm probably interested. 5.5, not so much. Oh, DeAndre Ayton. I'm so sorry, guys. I had him highlighted here at 6,200. I know he didn't have a good game against Minnesota. I don't care. He should be able to eat here with these guys out.
How many of these Suns can you play together?
I would say two, maybe. Two, I think, would be my max.
Torrey Craig played 26 minutes. I think there are some thoughts that maybe minutes could go to Damian Lee, but they didn't. Doesn't mean that'll happen again, just worth noting. Campaign is still very much in play, I think, at 5,700. But, yeah, I'm with you on Booker. Bridges, I'm always on the wrong side of the bridge. I really am always on the wrong side of the bridge. But, you know, if we're going to get 40 minutes out of the guy, I think he has a pretty high floor, and really his ceiling is there. Is he going to drop 30 real points again? I would think not. But, you know, I can't fault you for playing some Bridges on Friday. The Duke, former Duke prodigy, is questionable for Orlando. He's up to 8,700.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, what does that do for you if he's out?
Not much. Like, I'm not a big believer in the Orlando Magic, especially if he's out with these guys priced up. Like, Jalen Suggs at 6,100, like, that feels like fairly expensive to me. Franz Wagner at 6,900, that also feels expensive against a team that should be fairly good defensively overall. And I know they're missing some pieces, but I don't think Chris Paul being out is going to cripple their defense. So I'm not too interested. Bol, 6,700. Like, come on, these guys are way overpriced, I think, for this spot. So I'm not going to be too interested in these Orlando Magic players.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Franz Wagner has been great this year. He's just getting to that point where does he do enough peripheral-wise or defensively to have that ceiling? I mean, he's scored 20-plus points in four of the last five games. He's been really good. Now, some of the damage was done without Jalen Suggs. I know he's got 50-point upside once in a while. He's hit it once this season. I just can't see that happening against the Phoenix Suns. So I'm not super interested in Orlando. And if Banchero plays, then I'm probably not going to have any of them.
Yeah, I get it.
How about Detroit and the Knicks? Another game that just seems blah and slow. But here we are. Here we are. Mitchell Robinson is still out for the Knicks. I thought Obi Toppin was going to continue his solid play since this Minnesota breakout game didn't happen. The Knicks are fairly priced, but, you know, they all kind of eat up at each other's usage. Julius Randle's finally putting together some good games. He's shooting the ball really well from three, which is worrying me a little bit here. But I think, you know, some of these Knicks will probably pop in models across the industry because of their very affordable prices and their high floors.
Yeah, I am going to start with Detroit. What I will say is if Cade is back in the fold at 7,200, I like him a lot in this spot against the Knicks. The Knicks have, over the past few seasons, there's one position they've been terrible against, and nothing's changed this year that I've seen. And that's the point guard position, Luch. Like, point guards have torched them repeatedly. If Cade is in at 7,200, we see the prices come back down to earth now. This is a great spot to get some Cade Cunningham shares on DraftKings at 7,200. Jaden Ivey, I know he had a really good game the other night. If Cade is out, he could probably have another really good game. I really, really, really wish Mr. Bogdanovich would just decide how well he's going to play. I mean, he's starting to fall off of a cliff over the past few games, so perhaps he picks it back up. But I do think the Detroit Knicks, as boring as this game seems, I think the Detroit Pistons have a few pieces if Cade is out in that 5K range that we can get rolling with. One of those other 5K pieces being Isaiah Stewart. If you hop over to the Knicks, you know, once again, you know, Randall, RJ, these guys are playing minutes. You know, they're producing, but I don't feel like any of them are must plays. Like, Jalen Brunson could go off for 40, but he's 6,800. He doesn't feel like a must play. RJ Barrett is 6,600. He could go off for 40, but in a general sense, he's not going to be a 40-point scorer here. Julius Randle, you know, was down in the, at least on FanDuel, I think last time I played, he was 7,200. He's 7,900 on DK tonight. He could be fine, but I don't feel like he'll be completely necessary. I'm probably more interested in Detroit because of the pricing. Not a whole lot of interest in the Knicks here because of the pricing.
I like Jaden Ivey on DraftKings at 5,700, regardless of Cade's status. He's really racking up the peripherals, and he's a consistent scorer. So I really like to see that out of him. 6,600 on FanDuel. 6,700, excuse me, is a little too expensive for me. However, if Cade's out, I still think Ivy's ownership will be in check a little bit because of his price. So I think he turns into a tournament play on FanDuel. So I like the Ivy call a lot. I think that's where my head's at as well. Sadiq Bey, super volatile, but he's in the mid 5K range on both sites. If Cunningham's out, he's, you know, pretty risky, boom or bust, but, you know, he does have 7X upside at 5,700. I'm probably setting a build rule here, and, like, I don't want more than two picks.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pistons on any of my lineups kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Toronto and OKC. Siakam is still out. Fred VanVleet has been an absolute monster. 8,400 on DK. Scottie Barnes, 8K. OG, 7,100. Gary Trent is still sub 6K. We saw OG and VanVleet have absolute field days against Houston in a great matchup. Scottie Barnes was just average at his price, and Gary Trent was disappointing. I thought he was going to light up Houston in that game.
Oh, as did I. And I took his prop over 18.5 points. And I mean, he finished with 11 points, only took a few shots. Very frustrating. Very frustrating.
So on FanDuel, we have OG up at 85, Barnes at 77. Gosh, it's so tough for me to play them on a big slate at those prices. I'm totally okay with playing VanVleet at 8,800. And VanVleet could have dropped 70 last game. He really could have. He scored 30 real points in two of his last three games. And the reason I like VanVleet so much is Pascal Siakam handles the ball so much in that offense. He's actually top 15 in the NBA in potential assists. So when Siakam's out, Fred VanVleet is picking up so many more assist chances. Now, that didn't happen because he had the hot hand and dropped 30 real points. But a couple of games ago against Chicago, he had 30 and 11. God forbid this guy has, you know, a 3 or 4 steal game or something like that. And, you know, I'm on board with the Fred VanVleet train against OKC.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I don't hate that at all. He's a guy that should eat. I do feel like this is a spot we can go right back to the well on Gary Trent. Now, if he doesn't get it done this game, I'd be shocked. But one of the things I saw in Houston, he had 4 less shots than his kind of usual, right? He's anywhere in that 12 to 15 range. Only took 8 shots against Houston, which was abnormal, shall we say, for a guy that usually has double-digit shot attempts. So I think we could go back to the well. I don't feel like he's a guy that we have to play, but we could play him. And so that's, you know, that's kind of where I am with Gary Trent there. You know, OG had a big game. OG at 7,100 on DK is definitely a good spin. He was over 8K on FanDuel the other night, and my assumption is he's coming in over 8K yet again.
So if you're game log watching, just remember OKC played a 2-0 game against Milwaukee. SGA is still only 9,200. I don't care what the matchup is. He has crazy ceiling at that price. The big news here for me, in my opinion, is that whatever leash Josh Giddey was on is finally off, because he played 44 minutes of that 2-0 game. He's 6,500. And Poku played 39 minutes. Poku's a real part of this rotation at 5,200. So I do like all these Thunder guys, those three in particular. I wouldn't play more than two of these guys. Toronto is not my favorite matchup, right? But I definitely would have pieces of those three guys in my player pool.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. So the thing that trips me out about OKC, and I know I'm kind of pausing here for a dramatic effect, but all these guys, Dort, Polk, like, they're all playing minutes. Even the other night, Kenrich Williams is creeping in, playing minutes. Like, I mean, how many of these guys can you trust? Because essentially, this should be a good spot for them, playing against Toronto, down a few pieces. Like, I think this could be a good spot, but about the only person I actually want to play is SGA. Now, we talked about Josh Giddey. You mentioned him. Like, if the training wheels are off, then he could be a great play as well. How many OKC guys are you comfortable playing? Similar to kind of the Detroit situation against the Knicks. If Cade is out, you've got this odd collection of 5K guys from Detroit. Well, OKC has given us that in their normal rotation with Dort and some of these other pieces. Like, how many pieces are you comfortable playing from OKC here in this mid-range? Trey Mann's playing minutes. You know, it's like, what do we do here?
One mid-range guy, but my preference is Poku, at least on DK, because of his price. Yeah. In general, I don't – like, if I'm playing a single entry, probably not playing more than two Thunder guys together, and I don't think they'd be Giddey in SGA. Now, SGA is up to 10-1 on FanDuel. I have a little less interest in him there. What do you think about that FanDuel price?
Probably a fade for me.
Yeah. Getting 50 at 9,200 is a lot better than 50 at 10-1, right?
Yeah, 50 at 10-1 is kind of not helping me, because if I get a 6K guy that puts up 43, like, that's way more valuable.
It's a tough spot, because you have Ja on the slate, you have Van Fleet, you have De'Aaron Fox at AK, you have Steph, you have Cade Cunningham, you have Darius Garland, you have Westbrook, six-man Westbrook, and there's no LeBron, spoiler alert. You have cheap Jamal Murray at point guard. You know, shooting guard, you're going to have Devin Booker. I mean, he's going to be – no one's going to play him at 10-1. So, I mean, if you're throwing a large field dart and you're playing Van Fleet, I don't like, that's the spot you run a – that's, you know, you want to play SGA in large field stuff, I think, if, you know, especially if you're playing one of the Raptors with them. I'm fans.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right. Let's get on to a game where there might be a little more offense. And we're going to have to talk about the Bucks. We're going to have to talk about the Bucks. And Javon Carter shot the ball 27 times. How about them apples?
Yes, he did.
So, at these prices, Bobby Portis 7K on DK, Brook Lopez 6,300, Javon Carter 53, Grayson Allen 51. Bo Camp, who I probably did not pronounce correctly, played 30 minutes for the Bucks.
Overtime, he did play a significant, I would say, significant minutes overtime. So, that is counting towards that. If people haven't looked, like, he didn't play a true 30 minutes. That was an overtime 30 minutes.
Yeah, he's still really cheap, though.
Absolutely. But I just wanted people to know, like, he didn't actually play 30 minutes regulation.
And George Hill played 35 minutes and only shot the ball six times. So I know he's 3,900, but he scares me with what his upside actually is. So I think George Hill might be my least favorite Buck at this point. Listen, Brook Lopez had a hell of a game. You can play pretty much any.
I had tons of Brook Lopez the other night, but don't remind me how I had the nuts and still didn't win.
Well, I'm going to have to because we're going to keep talking about the Bucks. Okay, so where do you rank these Bucks based on their price and everything like that? I can tell you one thing, and I'm sure you'll agree with me. I'm going right back to Bobby Porter's, even at 7K.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was going to say. Like, I'm not going to let that one game fool me. Portis, Carter, Lopez, Allen. I think those are my rankings.
Yeah, I want to see more of Javon Carter. I mean, I know he's bounced around to a couple teams. Did you see his post-game interview floating around?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it wasn't how are you feeling this morning, but it was like, when did you know? Let me see. What was the specific phrase they asked?
Something like, when did you know you were going to have it today or something?
Yeah. At what point in the game did you know you had it? He's like, oh, when I woke up.
That was it. Stone cold. I might run it back with him. If I don't care what the price tag is. It just might be one of those sequences where projections might have him going for 5X because it's Javon Carter and look at the historical data. But I'm willing to just see him do it again, maybe.
Yeah, and he's got absolutely. A
fantastic matchup.
Let's oh, yeah.
Pull up FanDuel. Grayson Allen, 5K. Oh, dear. Let's see. Brook Lopez, 67. Bobby Portis, 5,800. FanDuel, what are we doing?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, tomorrow's one of those slates where I'm almost going to have to get in there. How much is Javon Carter on FanDuel, by the way?
He's 51.
I mean, that's still worth it. Even if he puts up 28, like, that's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. Yeah, Brook Lopez is the tournament play at 6,700, I think. I like Brook a lot. Center only on FanDuel, a little bit tougher. At least you have a utility slot on DK. But I'm with it. Right back to Bobby Portis. He's a no-brainer cash game play on FanDuel, 5,800, and most likely the same deal even at 7K on DraftKings, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if Bobby gets cooking, right, as he should, that might put a hinder on Javon Carter's usage. Like maybe I don't play them together for tournaments.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not going to be on the field the whole time. Like, I mean, he's not going to be on the court the whole time. I don't mind playing them together when, I mean, he should essentially still come out here and be bombs away against San Antonio. Now, if he was playing Boston or let's see, what's another good defensive team this year so far? Anyway, a good defensive team, I might be slightly afraid. But facing the San Antonio Spurs, I don't really feel bad about rolling Carter out here. I think the main thing is understanding that Drew and Giannis and Middleton just aren't playing. I mean, isn't this guy going to come back out and continue to shoot yet again? I mean, even if he only scores 18 real points, that's over half of his fantasy production. Even if he scores 15 real points, Luke, that's over half of his fantasy production. So, and I'm expecting him to score at least 15 points here. So, I'm back on the Carter well, on the Carter train a great deal here.
Yeah, I like them both. I'm with you. The Spurs, we know they're a fantasy gold mine. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks own the best defensive efficiency in the NBA, but this isn't the Milwaukee Bucks because they're down three of their main starters. You know, Giannis, Drew, and Middleton are such a key cog to that defensive efficiency.
Listen, critical. I mean, critical levels. Shout out to Chris Middleton as well. I think his dad passed away. So
didn't know that. Yeah.
Shout out to Chris Middleton is actually local from the area I live in, Charleston area.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to him, and sorry for your loss. I know he's not listening to this podcast, but hopefully his family's doing okay.
Yeah, for sure. That's sad to hear. Damn. You're going to make me segue back to fantasy basketball talk now after that. I'm trying here. Man, that stinks. And, you know, it sucks because he just can't get on the court this year either. He's been hurt too. But
yeah,
at least he'll have some time, you know, with his family. And
Yeah, I think some of the guys came to visit him. I think they were in Atlanta. They played the Atlanta game, and I think they came, swung by to visit him and, you know, check on his family, which was cool.
Anybody else local from the Charleston area that hoops?
I think Aaron Neesmith from here?
I don't know.
I think Aaron Neesmith is the other guy. Let's see. Another local. This wouldn't be Charleston, but it's the Lancaster County area. My cousin coached this guy. Sindarius Stormwell. Didn't have much of an NBA career, but college career, man, at South Carolina, played really well. Let's see.
Hey, this could be fun. You know what could be fun? Whoever's listening, we know we have some listeners. And you like interacting with us about food since the bubble, if you listen to me and Chief. But if you're from a rural area, who's the best pro hooper to come out of your area? I'm curious. You know, there's probably...
Yeah, definitely Chris Middleton here.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, definitely Chris Middleton.
Anywho, I guess we'll circle back to the Spurs. And, you know, it's a great matchup. It could be a really nice game environment. But when they're all healthy, it's tough for me at these prices to really like the upside of any of them specifically. I do like Trey Jones under 6K if I'm picking one. Jakob Poeltl, I generally do like, but I don't know if I like the matchup against Brook Lopez, although he's been really good. So, Keldon's having a great year. Vassell's been great. But, man, their prices are getting up there, Chief.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't feel like I have to play any Spurs, although it's probably the right call. I think I would say if I had to play one, I think I'd be in on Jakob in this spot for sure. You know, Keldon at 71, he's okay. Because of the spot, I could probably get away with a couple of these guys and be just fine. They are priced up, but because of the spot, because of the situation, I think I'm okay with playing these guys.
All right, on to another fun one. Minnesota.
And this is a fun ESPN game. Just in case anybody wants to know, this is the ESPN game Friday night, the later one.
Okay. Yeah, it could be a fun Friday night spectacle. So Minnesota is just tough to want to play anybody when they're all at these prices and they're all healthy. They just aren't having the ceilings we've seen them flash from time to time last year. You know, you bring Rudy Gobert in the mix now. And Memphis isn't playing the best defense, and they play pretty fast, though. This is what I'm doing. If I'm multi-entering, hypothetically, I'm having the Timberwolves in my player pool. But honestly, between Towns, Gobert, Edwards, and Russell, I'm setting a max of one. I don't want more than one of these guys. I don't think more than one of them typically have a ceiling game. So who's it going to be? I don't know, but... Are they talented? Yeah. Do they have ceilings? Yeah. But boy, it's tough with them.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't think we have to play anyone from Minnesota. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to get burned once or twice a week. But if we stay the course, this is a team you just scratch off. You just quit worrying about them until their prices come back down to playable levels. Now, is Anthony Edwards price at a playable level at 7,500? Probably. Do I want to play him? No. So I'm going to feel comfortable taking the fade, understanding that, you know, once or twice a week, Edwards or Gobert or Cat are going to burn us a little bit.
How about Memphis? We'll jump over to that side. Desmond Bane up to 81. Good Lord, coming off a 30-real-point game against the Spurs, who are fantasy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gold mine. Desmond Bain is awesome. Ja up to 10K. I mean, I have interest in both of them. I'm not playing them together at those prices, but I want them both in my player pool for sure. Steven Adams getting a lot of minutes in competitive games. He's definitely in play for tournaments too. He's dropping 40, 50 point games, and he's what, in the 5K range. So I think these Grizzlies are definitely in the player pool, and I wouldn't really force a run back either.
Yeah, absolutely. No need to force to just play the guys from Memphis. Now, Desmond Bane, I know he's been incredible. I'm not playing him at 8,100. I don't care how great he's been playing. Just taking the fade. And it's probably just Ja for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I respect that. I mean, gun to head, I'd rather have Ja in my player pool than Desmond Bane. But, I mean, geez, Steven Adams has been good when he's seen the minutes, and they definitely fluctuate. But he's certainly in play for tournaments as well. They're going to need his size for sure. How about Cleveland Golden State? Steph Curry up at 10-4, coming off a 47 real point game against Sacramento. What are you doing here?
I mean, this should be the Steph game of a lifetime, right? I mean, at home, they have been playing well on the road. Cleveland's coming to town, slightly tougher team because they've got some pieces that can score. But, I mean, Curry's been incredible. I mean, 72 fantasy points the other night. Like, this is the upside we've wanted to see for the past couple seasons from his, from three seasons removed. We just haven't been getting it. But now we're starting to see him really climb the pocket here, if you will, and really go to work. So I don't mind Steph here in tournaments, overpaying a little bit to possibly see if he pulls out some more upside. Because really, they're going to need to lean on him for scoring. Andrew Wiggins, he's played really well this season overall. Is this a spot where he could get going? Maybe so. You look at Draymond at 5,800. Is this a spot where they're going to need him for his defense? Yes, absolutely. But all in all, it's the Curry show here, man. It's the Curry show, and there's no doubt about it.
I mean, you could say, oh, but it's Cleveland. Well, he's shooting a lot, tons of usage. He's getting peripherals. He's averaging 7 boards and almost 7 assists a game, which is huge for him. And he put up mega games against Miami twice. Oh, he only had 45 against Phoenix. Well, he only played 30 minutes. He left 7 to 10 minutes on the table in a competitive game. So he is doing damage against teams that play lockdown defense and play relatively slow. So I'm totally okay with Curry as well. Wiggins, I mean, I don't think it's a spot for him at his price. I'm probably out if I'm playing a single entry team on everybody else on Golden State. Darius Garland laid a dud. He was 1-for-9 from the floor. I don't mind him in this pace up spot. I do worry about the guys that have to chase Curry around for most of the game, though. I feel like, they're more focused on the defensive end. And I feel like he's going to be one of the guys chasing Curry around these, damn ball screens a lot and exerting a lot of their energy. I mean, that's like the most non-analytical take ever. That's like a basketball guy take, right? A basketball guy take. But I like the price a lot still on Garland, on DK. So I don't mind him there. Bigs are the one that usually do damage against Golden State. And Evan Mobley just isn't filling it up. He's very cheap. Very cheap, and he has a couple of decent games in the high 30s. He has one game over 40 DK points, but that's it. Maybe this is a Jared Allen game. I'm curious to see if they would leave him in the game against the Draymond Green at the 5, or if that would be an Evan Mobley thing. But I feel like Jared Allen is such a good defender that they would want to leave him out there. So I'm not really prioritizing anybody on Cleveland, but I don't mind Garland and I don't mind Jared Allen.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Should be good. I mean, the Golden State Warriors have struggled a little bit inside this season, ironically. So this could be a big Allen game. Mobley is now down to a price where I think we can actually play him. Like, I just wasn't playing Mobley in that 6K range because I just didn't feel like his upside was actually there with all these guys. But at 5,700, I think this is a spot we could actually kind of get back on board here. Caris LeVert had a big game against Sacramento, as he should have. But, man, I mean, with all these mouths to feed, I feel like his upside would take a hit a lot more consistently than some of these other guys. So, Mitchell, I don't mind. Garland, I don't mind. Allen, I don't mind. And believe it or not, Kevin Love is sneaky. Like, he's a guy, Luch, that I think I'm going to just – he's a mass multi-entry build every slate now. Because you don't know when the 40-point game is coming, but you know you're going to get 20. And so he's like the one guy where nobody's ever going to play him, but if you just keep using him every night, you're going to catch him on one of these 40, 50-point nights, and you'll get rolling. So I just wanted to put that out there for the people. I did play some Kevin Love the other night. Didn't work out. But he's going to be a staple of the mass multi-entry build for me, especially in matchups like this.
Perfect time to potentially, you don't have to do this, but use Kevin Love as your conditional player and attach him to Steph Curry. So if you have five or six Kevin Love shares floating around, you know they're with Steph Curry, and then you just hope that the game's good and it's a shootout with Kevin Love lighting it up for Cleveland. That's kind of a direction I would consider.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Our good friend Kevin Love, we have talked about him on many podcasts over the past 2.5 years. I remember a couple podcasts we had in the bubble. Maybe we were talking about trade destinations and where could Kevin Love go. But Kevin Love stayed loyal to the Cavs, didn't demand a trade or anything. And they were downright miserable for a while when we started recording these pods. And look where he is now. Look at the position he's in now. The Cavs are an Eastern Conference contender. Kevin Love's going to be playing some meaningful basketball. Good for him. We don't know how many seasons he has left, so it's kind of cool to see him in a good spot and at times being super productive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you were to rank our good friends of the podcast, as we say, who would make our top five between Diallo, Kevin Love? they have to be in the top five of our good friends.
So it would be Diablo, Kevin Love, and Bobby Boucher. I think it would probably be Boucher as a friend of the podcast. Like, why hasn't an NBA team just said, look, man, just what does it take to get to pry him from the hands of Toronto? Like, so here's the thing. Sometimes guys just need opportunity, right? Manute Bol goes to Orlando and suddenly he's playing meaningful minutes. Look, it's Manute Bol's son, but you know, it's nickname time right now. But he goes to Orlando and suddenly he's playing meaningful minutes. And I think that's what we need with Mr. Boucher here. Dare we say Boucher could fit in with the Lakers? He might be the best 3-point shooter when he gets there.
The Thunder have a million picks. Why not just let Boucher, you know, see what you got in Boucher, go to a team that's struggling or something like that? Because clearly, Toronto hates him. We know not Toronto, the city, but the Raptors organization does not want him playing basketball. Anyway, let's go on to the last game because this is very, very noteworthy here that LeBron James is definitely out. Anthony Davis is probable. Russell Westbrook, 7,300, and allegedly will still play off the bench. Lonnie Walker is questionable. So now what? Patrick Beverley's floating around at 4,600. He is a big boomer bust guy. Where do you prioritize Anthony Davis and where do you prioritize Russell Westbrook on this slate?
Oh, man. Against Sacramento, you say? Big time priorities. Like, I know AD's probably not as important to me. Russell Westbrook at 7,300, though, is important. I think this is a 40-plus fantasy point performance by Russ tonight, no doubt about it.
I'm with you. I mean, he's hitting five X-ish value with LeBron.
And secretly, Troy Brown's going to play 35 minutes here. Especially if Lonnie Walker's out. Like Troy Brown's on my list today, for what it's worth.
I like Troy Brown. I like when we can punt Troy Brown on some slates. And well, he is playing minutes, man. Like now he
that's what I'm telling you. Secretly, he's going to play 35 minutes tonight against Sacramento. The other thing too, Luch, is his PRA props have just been a little bit too low. Hopefully we get him around 14, 15 this against Sacramento. Hammer the over. Hammer the over.
I think we're going to see a big Anthony Davis game as well. I think there's a chance that maybe it would need to be a perfect storm, but there's an outcome where AD and Westbrook are both optimal because Westbrook doesn't have to go nuclear at that price. Some other guys in his price range are just going to have to fail. And AD could have a, you know, 4-block, 3-steal game and drop 25 points, you know, 30 without LeBron. I see this as a big mismatch for Sabonis and whoever they're going to try and throw at him. So I do really like AD tonight a lot. Now, do you play anybody on Sacramento? Oh, and by the way, Pat Bev is in play. I mean, he's going to play 30-plus minutes too. He's super cheap. He could have that garbage gadgety game, and boom, Pat Beverly breaks the damn slate. It's definitely possible.
I'm not sold on Pat Bev, but I get it.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Pat Bev. Like, I don't ever feel good about it, but you know what he brings to the table. Scrappy, you know, steals and blocks counting stats.
Yeah, absolutely. Sacramento, this should be a game where they can kind of move around and play a little bit as well. Fox, Malik Monk, another guy, he's secretly playing 25, 30 minutes. I don't mind him in this spot as well at 4,500. Herter still big minutes. Like, you know, this is good stuff here. So I don't hate him as well. So sorry. And hopefully Mr. Sabonis can keep his hands to himself. Because he's been playing okay recently. Like, you know, the fouls have kind of come back down, which are good. So 8,500, I don't hate him at all.
Yeah, Malik Monk revenge game. A little something extra with the narrative, potentially.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Guess that's it, my friend. Wrapped up that slate. Good luck figuring out Milwaukee pieces. In conclusion, you're going to want to look at some Phoenix guys. You're going to want to play some Milwaukee value. Go back to Bobby Portis if you're playing cash games. Disregard the snowflake you laid. We both kind of like Steph Curry for tournaments. And the Lakers, AD and Westbrook are squarely in play. Did I miss anything significant there? Fred VanVleet as well, good spot.
Yeah. You miss nothing.
All right. Where can the people find you on Twitter? Let's wrap it up.
At Chief Justice 06 on the Twitter sphere.
Do you have a check? Are you buying a check mark?
Nope.
Me either.
Not buying a check mark at all.
It's pretty nuts with all these fake accounts and people are getting like catfish by fake news. I saw Rich Eisen bought some Kyrie, like not bought, but Rich Eisen got fooled by some Kyrie Irving release or trade news or something like that. It's going, you know, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. Now you can't believe much anything on the Twitter.com, Chief.
Yep, you cannot. Just gotta let it go. It's another love TKO.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. The Morning Grind. We'll be back on Monday. So enjoy this Friday night NBA slate. Enjoy all the football action. And, of course, Roto Grinders has you covered for all the action over the weekend. For my guy over here, Will Priester, I'm Justin Carlucci. Have a good weekend and good luck, everybody.